Thanks for coming again. I didn't really think there's going to be that many people here just with the first night of the tent meetings in Borden tonight, but there's a lot of people here, so that's great. Just going to have a simple, hopefully short message from the Bible, and I hope it can be followable and simple. And before we open God's Word, I'll just pray for help. Father in heaven, thank you for salvation. Thank you for your Son. Thank you that he went to the cross and suffered for our sakes. And we just pray for help with this meeting, and we just pray that it would be understandable and simple, just like Jesus taught. And we just ask for help in Jesus' name. Amen. Just got a few thoughts just like to share from God's Word, the Bible. And maybe we'll just open up with Romans chapter 5 to start, please. Romans chapter 5. Romans 5 and verse 12, please. So the first kind of thought that I had wanted to share was, take heed. We know from the Bible, I know I was just going to read, but I'm just going to say one thing there right quick. We know from the Bible, God has created the world, the universe. We have actually been created by God, and the Bible has been inspired by God. So we need to take heed. Read it. What's it saying? What's the message that God wants us to know? So sometimes I think we'd be better off if every time I speak, we just read the Bible instead. That would probably be better. But anyways, we'll just try to stick to the Bible. It's what God wants us to know. It's from God. And let's just read Romans chapter 5, verse 12. So take heed. Let's see. Just as sin entered the world. I just want to stop for a second and think about that. We hear and we think lots about sin all the time, but sin entered the world. And I was thinking this afternoon, like the biblical worldview, if you want to call it, makes perfect sense. If you read the Bible and look at what's going on and see, does this apply or make sense or fit with reality? And we shouldn't be surprised it does every time, especially when you're reading like Proverbs or anything like that. Like, the Bible is true, and it is from God, so we can trust it. And it says, sin entered the world, so we can read all about that in Genesis, of course. So you kind of wonder sometimes, maybe, how come the world is so messed up? There's so much evil that goes on, and it just doesn't make any sense, right? Like, there's so much evil, and this person did that to me, and they shouldn't have done that. But when you have the biblical worldview, there's actually an explanation for that. We can read, sin entered the world. That really makes a lot of sense if you look around. Sin did enter the world, and we can tell that, and we can see in our own lives, sin has affected us. We are sinners. But back to the verse, just as sin entered the world through one man, we can read all about that in Genesis, and death through sin. In this way, death spread to all people because all sinned. So in my mind, that makes a lot of sense. That really checks out, just like everything else in the Bible does, but that makes a lot of sense. That explains why stuff does not always go how we want it to. Sin has entered. And death by sin. So that's Romans 5, verse 12. And anyways, so just I wanted to say, take heed of God's word. Sin has entered the world, and it's wreaked havoc. You can look through history, the Bible, or just any history you want that is true. You can see time and again, sin has really done some terrible things, and really, we have, because we've been affected by it. We are sinners, the Bible shows us. But I just want to think about a few things about sin before I move on. So I was thinking the entrance of sin. We just read, by one man, it entered in the garden. We can read, by one man's disobedience, sin entered the world. So that's how it happened. we disobeyed God and sin entered the world by one man's choice. Then you have the explosion of sin, if you will. You can don't have to read very far in the Bible or look very far into your life or your community and see sin is pretty crazy. And especially when you're reading through the Bible, sin entered, read a few more pages, Cain kills Abel, and sin is just exploding. Everyone is jumping in on it. There's murders, there's this and that. So the entrance of sin, then the explosion of sin, all through history. Then the effects of sin, we can read a lot about the effects of sin in the Bible. It brings misery. We've all kind of experienced different levels of misery, perhaps. I've had an exceptionally easy life, probably, compared to most people here and everywhere, but it does affect us all. It brings misery, evil, death, we just read, and it leads to hell. So there's terrible effects to take heed of from sin. And then just the last one, just a simple few thoughts about sin, the extension of sin. It's entered, it exploded, there's effects of it, we can see that, and it extends all the way to me and you. So, and we can read in the Bible, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So it's still running rampant and wreaking havoc, and it's made it to me and you, right into my heart. But so it's extended all through all mankind. Anyway, so all that to say, take heed of God's word. Read it if you haven't read it. It is amazing, challenging. Just take time to read the Bible. And you are a sinner, before I move on. Take heed, you are a sinner, the Bible says. God is righteous. He has to do something about it. Even though we can read from the Bible, God loves each and every one. He is righteous. He can't just turn the blind eye to sin. He has to do something about it because he's righteous, right? So we are sinners. If you're not saved, you're actually in a very bad position in a sense of where you're going. You need help. And there's one person that can help you. So my next point, just a few simple points. Take heed, you're a sinner, take help. You desperately need help if you're not saved. And so did I before I was saved. I still desperately need help in a lot of ways. But take help. That's what the gospel is. There's help available through one man, Jesus. You can take help from him. And I had a verse, actually. Let's go over to 1 Peter chapter 2, please. So take help. There's help up for grabs, if you will. Let's see. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 22. So all have sinned, and then we can read through the Bible, come up to 1 Peter chapter 22. We've figured out we desperately need help. Then we see he's talking about Jesus here. He comes in at verse 22. He did not commit sin. So there's one person who stands out in all of human history, and it's Jesus. He did not commit sin, which is very fascinating. And no deceit was found in his mouth. We can read, I think it's in Proverbs, the tongue can no man tame, which is another thing you can kind of put to the test, like try to control what you say. You find it very difficult. So, and again, the Bible checks out, but, and no deceit was found in his mouth, and he did not commit sin. That's amazing. That's never happened before. It's the only man who did not commit sin. When he was insulted, he did not insult in return. That's very fascinating. When he suffered, he He did not threaten, but entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. This is one of my favorite verses, verse 24. We just talked about he was perfect. He himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree. That is amazing. The one who did not sin actually ended up being crucified innocently. And we can read in the Bible, it was for us. That's why it happened. That's why he let it happen. He came to earth for that very purpose, to die on a cross, to be able to offer salvation and offer the forgiveness of sins, having paid for them himself. So he himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree. So there's help available. We've taken heed, hopefully. Take help from Jesus. That's amazing. We have the ability to take help from him. And a few thoughts about that, right quick. Maybe you think, well, it's 2026. What does Christ have to do with anything right now? Like, I'm just living my life. Maybe I want to get a motorcycle. Like, it doesn't matter. Christ maybe seems insignificant. But, 1 second, please. Christ, I think you will see if you look into it, Christ is extremely significant. He did not sin. Actually, if you think about his whole life, like his entrance into this world was significant. He was born of a virgin. That never, ever happens. That's impossible. So his entrance was significant. His whole life was very significant, if you look into it. Like, fascinating stuff. And so he's significant. Think about the holidays and everything like that. Not that that has a lot of weight on things, but he's very relevant. You think about 2,026 years since what? Like, he divided the calendar. I'm sure you heard that before, but he's extremely significant. You need to think about this stuff. What did he really say? Who really was he? Why does it matter? So he was significant. You'll see that if you look into it. Johnny Cash actually said, anyone who wants the truth ends up at Jesus. I thought that was pretty neat. I don't know if he's the best source, but he's right. He is right. Anyone who wants the truth ends up at Jesus. He's significant. Christ is sinless. He didn't do anything wrong. Christ is the Son of God. He said that and he proved that. And you can see that and you can trust that. And last simple point, Christ is the Savior of sinners. I was going to put that hymn out at the start, but we didn't. But Christ is the Savior of sinners like me. So take heed, take help. Let's just move on to the third one here. Take him. So it's salvation is extremely personal. It's a person. It's Christ. He really lived and died on earth, really rose again, really offering you a relationship. It's very personal. It's not just like a doctrine or idea that you kind of trick yourself into believing. It's a person. He rose again. He's still alive, coming back. So this is very important. So take him as your Savior. That's what he's offering. He offered himself. So salvation is in a person. Jesus said, I am the way, truth, and the life. So take him as your personal Savior. And take him at his word. He said, it is finished. Take him at his word. Trust him. He said, it is finished. And he died, rose again. There's lots to put your trust in. And you can trust him. And just move on. I was saved when I was a young kid. 2015, February 22nd. And sometime after that, I don't know the exact date of this story, but I had quite a bit of doubts after that, maybe a year or two after. And for a few days there, I just didn't know if I was saved anymore. I don't know. what's, maybe I just don't get it. And then I said, maybe I should talk to Dad, or maybe I should talk to Grampy or somebody. And I thought, I was pretty close to doing that, and I thought, well, I'm just going to open the scriptures, just see what it says, just find out the truth. And I opened, randomly, to Matthew 9:22. Let's just turn over. You should always read the scripture within the context. What did it say before? Who wrote it? Who were they talking to? There's context that needs to be known. You can't just take anything one line. But I opened to Matthew 9, verse 22, when I just didn't know if I was saved. And I just opened it, looked down. It said, in the middle of verse 2, but that's where I just happened to look, "Take heart. Your sins are forgiven." And I couldn't believe it. I would just, obviously I took it kind of out of context, but that's not really, because that's what the gospel is. Take heart, Jesus paid for your sins on the cross. Your sins are forgiven. It's a gift, you accept it by faith, your sins are forgiven. It's all done. Jesus did it all. But I never forgot that, I hope I never do, but take heart, your sins are forgiven. It's amazing. And this last one, we'll go over to Romans 6:23, please. Probably already know what it says, but let's go see. So hopefully this makes a little bit of sense. Take heed, you need help, take help, take him. It's in a person. Take heart. Maybe that one could be for believers, but I think it could be for unbelievers as well. Take heart, your sins have been paid for. And the last one, Romans 6:23. What can we take from Romans 6:23? For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So just the last take I was thinking was take heaven. God has literally made heaven available to each and every person. We can read first to the Jew, also to the Gentile. That just means everybody. It's heaven is up for grabs through faith in Christ. So hopefully this makes some sense, and that somebody can trust Christ as their Savior. Thanks.